Good morning, I'm Paige Pisano, and I'm going to be talking about an ongoing intervention that we have in Bangladesh to prevent postpartum hemorrhage in collaboration with these two organizations at the bottom, one of the premier research institutes in Asia, ICDDRB, and this NGO, RDRS, that was established during the independence of Bangladesh. So it's a very long-standing NGO, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little background, Bangladesh is a country about the size of Wisconsin. It's one of the countries with the highest population density in the world. And it's also a country known for extraordinary innovations in public health, from family planning to microfinance to child survival. So there's a lot of amazing ideas coming out of the country that are instructive for the region. It's about 3/4 of the country is rural, and it has an extremely high percentage of home deliveries. So you can see from these statistics, only 3% of women who are not having an institutional delivery are able to manage to get a skilled birth attendant to come to their house. So as a result, the emergencies occur outside of skilled, you know, outside of a facility, and there's a high MMR and neonatal mortality rate too. So the two key interventions that have the potential to reduce both the child and newborn mortality rate are pictured here. But the real question for Bangladesh is, how in the world are we going to get the least connected women to avail of these services when they're not coming on their own? Here you can see by wealth quintile, the red bars indicate home deliveries. So we've got like a 11-fold difference between the poorest quintile and the richest in terms of where they're delivering, the ones who are getting, you know, institutional deliveries. And you can see even the richest women, over half of them are still choosing to deliver at home. And transportation, if you have money, you can use a micro van, but the poorest people might have to rely on rickshaws, and there's a lot of flooding in the country during the rainy season, so there's a lot of delays associated with getting women to the hospital once they realize an emergency has occurred. So this is the region where we're working in 6 districts in Rajshahi district, and Rangpur Dinajpur Rural Service supervises and trains 600 birth attendants who manage 72,000 deliveries in this region out of a total of 100,000. So there also are a lot of untrained TBAs in this area, and then some women go for facility deliveries. And here are some of the women in the region, and they're very concerned with having safe pregnancies. They go for ANC, but they're just because they come for ANC 4 times or 5 times doesn't mean they have any intention of going for a hospital delivery. So most of them, in fact, both the TBAs and the women themselves gave us the impression that, you know, it's only the unfortunate women who have to end up in a hospital. Because if you're lucky, everything will go smoothly and safely, and you'll have a nice home delivery, and there'll be no problem. So our study is aiming to show that it is safe and feasible to teach these trained TBAs. They've already received quite a bit of training from RDRS to use misoprostol and a delivery mat, which I can show you here. They basically have a safe delivery kit, this small kit, which basically just has the plastic sheet, the razor blade, the soap, and clean cord ties. And what we introduced was two additions to the kit, which is the misoprostol tablets, a blister pack of 3 to prevent hemorrhage, and then this delivery mat, which was invented by our partners at ICDDRB. And it's just to measure blood, so it holds exactly 500 milliliters of blood. So in case the miso doesn't work, they'll know when the real emergency threshold time has arrived. So just to give you a little idea of the TBAs that we worked with, they are not young women. They were in their 40s and 50s and sometimes early 60s. But what struck me about working with them is this incredible service ethic that they had and commitment to the women that they serve. I mean, they would go through such hardship any time, day or night, to arrive for the delivery and stay with the woman and come back the next day and 2 days later. So they really had a sense of that we need to be doing this work because it's important to the country and it's important to our communities. So here are a few quotes. They also had, many of them had husbands who were dead or who couldn't work or had made very little money. So there was economic need as well as a sense of, they really had a lot of job satisfaction because they got so much appreciation from the women in the communities for the work that they were doing that they felt really good about themselves. They also were very proud of their knowledge, and they actually did know so much more about maternal and child health than the women and the families in the regions where they worked. So they had to spend a lot of time convincing people that this is, you know, this is what needs to be done now. And through it was a bit difficult with the mother-in-laws, because many of the mother-in-laws felt that, you know, we did it at home, why can't she? So that was the main barrier. The interesting thing about RDRS is they're also training this cadre of health workers who are not skilled birth attendants. In fact, these women are not even trained to handle deliveries at all. But they have, they're high school graduates, so they're literate, and they're young mostly, and they've been trained how to give ANC in these rural clinics. So they basically, you know, check blood pressure, check the position of the baby, and all those kind of basic things. Everything but like blood work and stuff like that. And they refer if a woman needs ultrasound or something like that. But these two groups of women work in partnership with each other. So the clinic-based providers, even though supposedly they're supposed to supervise the TBAs, they don't actually go with them to the deliveries. So there's a certain amount of trust that, okay, you handle the outreach, bring the women into the clinic for ANC, I'll give them the information. And then when it comes time for their delivery, the TBA brings the kit to them, brings the meso, and again reminds them how to use it. So that's how they work together. So last year we trained about 580 TBAs in how to do safer deliveries and using these two new items. And also the CHWs were involved in this training and how to support the TBAs. So the key questions we were interested in is, are the TBAs going to be able to acquire the necessary knowledge, retain it, and then is it going to influence their practice? And secondly, are they going to get the dosage right and the timing and take the necessary safety precautions? So in terms of knowledge acquisition, they really didn't have, very few of them had any way to prevent blood loss after delivery, so that went up significantly and stayed high. Then we asked them, okay, so if you knew how to prevent bleeding, how did you do it? And there was a mistake in our data. This 26% misoprostol before the training, actually it conflicted with another question we had, which said, have you ever heard of meso? And only 4.5% had ever heard of the drug. So something went wrong there. But basically they were using various methods, a lot of traditional methods, or they were just referring, and that's not really a prevention method, but that's what they said. So after the training, they started using meso, and the other methods that they were using before that are a little bit less reliable went down to 1 and 2%. Then in terms of dosage, they seemed to get it pretty clearly. They couldn't really give an overdose because it's only 3 tablets here, but a few of them said 1 or 2 tablets. Timing was also they were very accurate on understanding that you give it immediately after the baby is born. A couple of people waited until the placenta was delivered, which was not exactly correct. But then we asked them, this was the real key question, is will they remember to check that, you know, not to give meso before the baby is born or not to give it in between a set of twins, because of the risk of uterine rupture and other, you know, dangerous factors for the mother and the child. So really, to the credit of ICDDRB, the training heavily emphasized the safety factor, and they spontaneously mentioned these two things that you need to check for. Pretty high rates, considering the way we asked the question, and then it got even higher at the 6-month point. So it also reassured us that the people who answered nothing or don't know or said something else was negligible. Then in terms of the mat, we wanted to know what were they doing before they had the mat to measure blood. And this, since this was a mixed method study, we confirmed both in the quantitative and the qualitative that most of them were just watching the woman, and they were waiting until her face was pale. She couldn't lift her head. She was dizzy, or, you know, all the signs of shock approaching. So they were waiting way too long to actually start the process of transfer. So some of them also had some other traditional methods, but they weren't really recommended. So once we introduced this mat, they love the mat. The women love the mat. The families can very easily understand. You give the misoprostol right after the baby's born. Oops, excuse me. You put the mat just right underneath the woman's buttocks, and you just tell the family, if this thing fills up, then we're going to have to go. And so it's so simple and easy for everyone to understand. Like, if a little blood comes out, it's okay. If half of the mat is full, we're still okay. But as it starts to, if the blood is still flowing heavily, it gives the family time to prepare for transfer. And here's an example of the difference that they felt. These TBAs were not hesitant to refer. They referred many women even before the delivery, saying, you know, you're very small, you should go, or you are, you had a problem with your last delivery and you're a grand multipara. So they were absolutely pro-referral, because they didn't want to have to take the blame of having a woman die on their hands. So the organization trained them well. And the other really good thing that RDRS did is they emphasized postpartum care. Because so many of all the women who die, so many of them die in the first 24 hours and in the first week, they really encouraged the women to stay with the person who had just delivered for, you know, 3 to 4 hours. And we found that most of the TBAs reported they stayed 2 to 3 hours or 3 to 4 hours, and then 100% of them were coming back to check on the women. And this, we found these rates were very high even before we did any training. So this, the training re-emphasized it, and we saw even higher, more significant numbers in terms of women coming back the next day or the third day. And that stayed, there was no change between the post-test and the 6 months, but it stayed high. So in conclusion, I wanted to say that misoprostol is probably one of the most powerful tools that you can give to a TBA in terms of something that actually works really well 90 or 95% of the time to prevent the emergency. And so you don't have to worry about trying to gather the money, the transport, convincing the mother-in-law and the husband and all those things, because it just doesn't happen most of the time. And then having a backup method like this mat to further help the birth attendant communicate with the family, everybody understand what's going on. There's no ambiguity about when emergency has arisen. So that really helps them, get the women to treatment if they needed treatment. And so overall, we feel that in a situation where you have such high rates of birth home deliveries, and you have an organization that has the capacity to not only train and give refresher trainings and give support to these birth attendants, it's actually safer to take the risks. There are risks associated with this, but it doesn't compare to the risks of inaction and doing nothing. So we think it's a necessary move in situations like Bangladesh. Thank you.